program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, you have a couple of stories, I guess, or experiences recently that have come up in as you talk to people in your life with just a difficult, hard struggle to talk about the topic even of suicide. And what have you talked with people about lately?
Well, actually, I did get an email that just hurt me, kind of kicked me in the gut. Let me tell you something that happened today. So now I've had two today. At the Hope Center, we have something called a quarterly breakfast called Bacon, Eggs, and Believers. And it was delightful. And this man brought, at the end, a woman up to me to... And I wasn't the program. I just was attending. And I want you to meet June and blah, blah, blah. And so this woman had done the office furniture for this particular man. And she was saying, you know, I really think I need to have something in my life that's more purposeful and all. And she talked about possibly politics, I basically said, is there a possibility? I'm going to ask you a very direct question. Has there been a time in your life when you know you've humbled your heart and you've received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, giving him control of your life? Or is that something you would want to do or you think God would want you to do? And she said, well, I think maybe I'm kind of on the way. And so we've got a meeting set for next week. We're going to meet and I'm going to talk with her and present how to have a changed life through Christ. I go back and I tell the man who came up to me, and he said, well, her husband had just said that he was suicidal. I said, you mean he just volunteered that? He said, yes. And I went, oh. I said, well, what did you say? And he said, well, you shouldn't do that. and I said, do you know how to do the contract? And he said, what contract? And this is a businessman, so he knows about contracts. I said, let me tell you, when I have presented the contract for suicide, many people, and I've done it a number of times with individuals, and it's like, let me tell you what the contract is, and then I'm going to tell you what happens afterwards. The contract is, I call it the contract of hope, and we have this in our material on hope. And by the way, I said to this man, Glenn, I said, Glenn, you've got to get our material. I'll get you our material on hope, and if there's a contract, and you have to present this to this man. And he said, okay. And so there's a short acrostic, honestly confront. You talk about, you take seriously anything that is said. Like, Glenn needs to take very seriously what this man said about wanting to commit suicide. I'm understanding that, you know, you're thinking that life's not worth living. Is that right? And then we have a short dialogue, and it must be painful. You must feel painfully empty. I want to know about your pain. Would you tell me? So now you're engaging. Then there's a way to offer options. Now, the contract is this. You build a relationship by showing that you care and your willingness to help. And you say, will you promise me, if you are considering harming yourself, you will call me before doing anything? And I'll tell you how I wrote the contract. My contract of hope. We have this in our keys. The following is a solemn binding agreement. This contract cannot be declared null and void without the written agreement of both parties. I promise if I should consider harming myself, I will talk with you before I do anything destructive. I sign my name as a pledge of my integrity. And you have your signature, his signature, in this case it would be his signature first, and then the date, and your signature, it would be Glenn's, and the date. And at the bottom we have, anyone who is among the living has hope. Well, that's scripture, Ecclesiastes 9:4. What has happened is, when the first time I ever did this, this woman said, you know, I called you, I was trying to get a hold of you because I was going to commit suicide, but I promised you I'd call you first, and I couldn't get you. So now I'm talking to you, but I don't feel suicidal now. And I thought, in other words, the promise of saying, I promise I will not harm myself, I won't do anything destructive, until I talk with you first. I have had people, multiple people, say, I was going to do it, but I promised you. And by the way, I do ask, do you keep your promises? And they always say yes. So I'm going to encourage you. You need to have this. You need to have suicide prevention, is what we call it. Hope when life seems hopeless. We have all kinds of ways to help people to not commit suicide. And these deterrents are marvelous because it helps you also build within that person a relationship, meaning where they feel that they can talk with you. Please get our material.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear. It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear. You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Hope in the Night, a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We want to thank you for your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. Our customer support team is ready to take your calls now at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. We want to recommend strongly to you that you get the Keys for Living called Suicide Prevention, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. June spoke about that a moment ago, and she will be speaking a little bit more about that on tomorrow's program, and how just some specific steps that are included in the Keys for Living there. Again, it's called Suicide Prevention, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. Call us at 800-488-4673 to order your copy. If you would like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT, the number's 17. Just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. We look forward to your call. Let's get to our caller for tonight, Veronica.
Well, welcome to Hope, Veronica. How can we help you?
Well, June, I hope you're doing well too.
Thank you.
I feel okay at the moment, but it's like every day something new happens. It's been that way for all my life, but especially the last 2.5 years approximately. Mm-hmm. And I've known the Lord a long time. He's shown me a lot of things. But because of some of the things that I've gone through, and it doesn't really have to do with the COVID, that hasn't really affected me very much. I can explain later why. But it's unexpected things like involving defamation, you know, nasty gossip and real defamation, a lot of criminal activity directed at me and things like that. But then again, who was it that asked the Lord, "Lord, teach me to fight"? Ha, ha, ha. Because I thought I was not able to stand and really fight to where I would even be able to continue the Christian journey. And that was back in about 1990. And my whole life has gotten, it's one thing after the other in the last 2.5 years. I think my question, if I were to boil it down, would be, I feel kind of almost burned out and like I'm one step away from burning out or being checkmated. That's something I kept thinking about, continual stress, burnout, and I wish I wasn't like that, but I don't seem to be able to do a lot. I've done a few things. I've had to. You can't live like that. And I've had to, amidst some pretty bad health problems, I'm kind of sidelined. That's why the COVID hasn't really affected me. I've developed severe degenerative back disease in the last 2.5 years. They didn't know what it was at first, and all of a sudden it manifested. And boy, did that change my life completely. And I wasn't getting out very much. And so now it's easier to follow the doctor's orders because I've had a lifetime of like respiratory things starting early in life and continuing. And I take daily asthma medicine. On a good day, I forget to take it, you know, because it's not bothering me, but there are certain triggers, and I'm supposed to take it every day. So I am, due to my age, I was 24 going on 25 when I finally, after having moved to the Bible Belt, it began to really sink in. I was really realizing that I needed a Savior. I didn't know where to look, and I was looking every place imaginable. Not every place imaginable, but I was starting to investigate different Eastern religions. And, you know, I found a little meaning in my logic class at college. And, but I was starting to just, I don't know, I felt like I was kind of starting to go off the deep end, and so the Lord just let stuff get really bad, and I just said, "Lord, if you're really there, like I've been hearing, and you can really hear me, and you really care, well, I need a Savior." And so, see, that's been over 45 years ago. I was 24, going on 25, and He showed me a lot of things to begin with, like dreams, waking dreams maybe, waking dreams and then just plain dreams. And He just showed me a lot of things. Like I was trying to pray. I didn't know how to pray. And He showed me three things to do to keep Satan from getting back in my life. And unfortunately, I didn't observe all three of them as closely as I should have. And I feel that I was called to do spiritual warfare from the ground up. I feel like I was called before I was born. And then when I finally decided that, you know what, I think I know some things about spiritual warfare. It was back in 2008. I wrote something on it, and then I prayed that. No, I had already prayed that prayer in 1990 about, "Lord, teach me to fight. I don't even think I can do this anymore without you've got to teach me." And it was like such an answered prayer, like almost none I had ever had before.
Okay, so let me ask a quick question. When you say, because you talked about earlier how to fight, and you said, Lord, teach me how to fight. And then you, but earlier you had mentioned spiritual warfare. So are you talking about fighting in terms of if there is oppression, enemy oppression, and you are designated, or I didn't know if you meant fighting something else that you hadn't identified?
Well, there was a specific instance that brought it up to a head. I had just moved to the house I'm still at, like 31 years ago. I moved here, and my son was young, barely six when we moved, and he's out of pocket. I have no idea how he's doing or anything. I just had to give him over to God. But anyway, I was upstairs listening. My back was literally and physically against the wall. I was listening in that small upstairs to the attic crawl space, because I had never been exposed to rats. We live near a creek. There's drainage ditches all around. Neighbors had rats under their sheds and under their cars, and I've lived overseas a lot. I had never seen so many rats in my whole life. They can get through a space as small as a quarter. They got in the crawl space, and I went up there, and I was working full-time, and I was a single mom, and so literally and physically, I thought, I can't handle this. I thought, I can hear them scratching. It's rats in the crawl space. And I thought, what am I supposed to do? And it was really an ordeal, and it was really awful. But anyway, that's when I saw that I didn't know how to stand. And I was thinking in my mind, Lord, I'm not even going to be able to stand and do what's right as a Christian, grow as a Christian, unless you teach me to fight. And that's where the answer that I got that night might tie into tonight's question, is that I felt like I could repeat it back to the Lord. Yes, I will teach you to fight. It will be me, and it will be spiritual warfare. And I didn't know exactly what that was. I just knew that in my brief marriage, there was some stuff that happened that I could not deal with nor understand. It was kind of abusive. It was the three A's, you know. It was my brief seven-year marriage, almost 7 years. And I felt at the time the Lord said, you're going to need to know spiritual warfare with this.
Okay. Well, tell me what these, either the three A's are, or explain when, by the way, I had recently something happen where all I know is I had the same thing. The rats, I was hearing noises. We had like a tornado that came through. They call them straight winds, and I lost, you know, five trees and all. But somehow the rats got in, and I thought, what is this? So I totally identify with this strange noise, and you're hearing scratching, and it is odd. It is just, but your situation, you're saying that God had intervened in your life to the fact that not just, I gathered that when you were either 24 or 25, and I understood you were looking for a deeper relationship with God, and that, do I understand that you believe that you came into an authentic relationship with Christ where you gave Jesus control of your life?
Well, you know, I don't think I understood exactly how much control I was giving, but I know that about 3 or 4 days later, there's this little Christian coffee shop at the north of campus, and those were the people that had told me about the Lord. I took some graduate courses. I didn't ever finish. I always felt bad about that. But anyway, they told me, the one or two that had told me. And so I went upstairs, and I thought, well, now that I've accepted the Lord, I think I've done what they said. I should pray. And I didn't really know how. And I prayed, and I distinctly could feel the answer inside. I'll never forget it. That the way to let the devil right back into your life will be to do anything regarding horoscopes or anything like that, because I had started leaning towards that a little bit, and then any kind of drugs, I had started leaning just a little bit, but I was like reserving the right to go back to it if I didn't find the right. If God didn't answer me, I was like inside holding that I would go back and maybe get deeper, but nothing deep, nothing really deep, only one drug, the gateway drug. Anyway, then the third thing was relationships. He said, those have to be under control. Those have to be in me. And I felt that, and I remembered I wouldn't touch anything that some Mormons brought me by a Book of Mormon, and I'm like, I would have been eager to go through it before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I was working at a little bookstore part-time and going to graduate school, and they brought me by a Book of Mormon, and I could not. I just felt like the Lord had said, leave all that stuff completely alone for Eastern religions, horoscopes, all that thing. Don't have anything to do with them. And so I didn't. And drugs, the opportunity came up on a trip, and I started to get tempted, and I thought, oh, no, the Lord said that was a way to let the devil back in. And I already knew about the devil, believe me. Mm. It's a strange story. I hope we would have time maybe to talk a little bit. I'm just having trouble dealing with the stresses, and there's some immediate questions I'm going to have to answer. But I listened last night to the woman that had some spiritual warfare things, and mine were different. Mine were different. Okay. I've stayed away from stuff like that. I do not want anything to do with any kind of seeing any kind of spirits or dealing with that. I don't like them. I'm afraid of them. And there's a reason I'm afraid. I had deep, deep horror in my soul from what I was exposed to growing up. And it was basically, to not keep it a mystery, it was Edgar Allan Poe and all his stories. My dad was an English professor. And I was very good at English. Anyway, and then horror movies. Triple feature horror movies at the drive-in, June. And I was 10 years old when at the worst of these in Florida. And we used to go every Friday night. He would take the family, or maybe it was Saturday night. I can't remember. And we would go. And so it got into my soul, and I grew up with a lot of horror in my soul.
Okay. Well, the good news is I hear that you have really wanted, had a desire, deep desire to be obedient to what God would lead you to do, and you had a sensitivity. This really is a compliment to you, that it's like you had a sense, no, I shouldn't touch this, no, I shouldn't be involved in that, and yet, you know, it's not like you were being schooled, it's not like you grew up with Bible in hand and all this background. So God was your teacher, and He gave you a sensitivity.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about any of the topics that we raise here on the program, make sure you get in touch with us. Customer support is ready to take calls at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help you access the appropriate resources for you. That number again, 800-488-4673. I want to recommend to you The Keys for Living, called Purpose in Life, Pinpointing Your Priorities. You may order that or any other resource for yourself by that phone number, 800-488-HOPE, or email at customercare@hopefortheheart.org if you have any questions regarding topics and resources discussed in a particular program. So we thank you for that. We look forward to hearing from you. We want to let you know that we are grateful for your financial and prayerful support. Thrilled to share that we met our $150,000 year-end matching grant. That will allow us to grow the number of people we reach with biblical hope and practical help for today's life challenges. Your continued prayers and generosity are vital as we begin the new year of reaching more people with God's truth during these difficult times. We are a listener-funded broadcast and cannot do this ministry work without your financial gifts. The easiest way to give is to use your phone or computer. Just take it out and visit hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Let's get back to our caller tonight, Veronica.
Well, my friend, I hear loud and clear that you have several questions that you for sure want us to get to. I've also heard that basically you became a true Christian when you were around 25, 24, 25. You were looking for deeper meaning, and you weren't sure that... But that it would be in a different direction. But it's like God intervened, and he literally answered your prayer for who he was, and you had not had exposure in the past. And yet you began to have a sensitivity, which I thought was fascinating. By the way, you know, when a person becomes a true, authentic Christian, according to the Bible, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, you're included in Christ. What I want you to hear is when a person hears the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then you believe, you literally are willing to entrust your life to him, then you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And he doesn't come and go. He performs certain functions. One of those is being a counselor. He counsels you in the way you should go. It's the Spirit of Christ living in you. And so at times you can literally pray as a true Christian. You know, there's those who are Christian. I call it Christianese as a language, or having a Christian creed, but that doesn't mean you have a relationship with Christ that he wants us to have, where we receive Jesus in our lives, where the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So,
and I'm going to have a little question about clarification on that when you finish this thought.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think what's helpful for you is God met you at your point of need when you didn't know what was right. Because I identify with not having had exposure, and so everything was so new. And other people would use language that I'd never heard before. I'm talking about Christian words, but if you have not had that exposure, it's like a whole. I called it my fascinating journey. It was just like, wow!
Yes.
You keep learning so much, but you know, it's helpful for you to know that the gift you were given of literally the presence of the Spirit of Christ in you. Was highly valuable, because at times you would make decisions and you probably didn't know why, and yet it was the right decision, but it was because the Spirit of Christ was giving you peace about
right.
that decision, and or a lack of peace if it was wrong. I'm just communicating
yeah.
that's what I am interpreting from what you said. Okay, now, you have several questions you said you for
well,
sure want
well,
to ask me.
You asked me, you know, giving control of your life, and I've heard you speak many times. I've learned some things myself being in a similar field, not a licensed counselor or anything, but, you know, I've been around the block a few times, and
mm-hmm.
I've been in social services a lot, but I don't think I really did understand, which was probably good. I was not capable of understanding at that point,
mm-hmm.
and I probably
mm-hmm.
would have balked a little bit because God met me at my point of need, but I don't think I understood that I was giving him control of my life. And see, one of the things growing up is being exposed to highly controlling people all the time and trying to please them. And then me having questions as a Christian later, like I remember asking two or three people, I said, you just seem to be so full of faith and you have joy and you love the Lord. And I said, how do you do it? Because I didn't understand, and then I became aware of the verse that said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So I thought, okay, this is a journey, and I will just keep his commandments the best I can. And I did get sidetracked by the world here and there, but now I'm, well, I'm at home because of the COVID, but I'm a senior, I'm retired. I'm still licensed, you know, I'm in social services, but I'm not, it's on emeritus status. So I'm not getting sidetracked by the world very much, and I'm listening intently to the whole AFR lineup every night. And I go do cat rescue, and the Lord said, yes, I want you in this. And I'm like, really, Lord, you know, some Christians don't seem to understand this. It's a very effective program at keeping the unhealthy, skinny, starving, reproducing cats off the street. You know, it cuts down on them. It's very effective. And yes, I'd rather work with cats than people. I'm sorry to say that, but I don't have a very high trust level because of all the criminal activity and all the controlling people, and I grew up with that. So in this last 2.5 years, I guess my question is that I want to tell you the things I've done. I've written 4 or 5 things down that I've done. They're real short to try and build trust in God, because I was about to lose my faith over the last 2.5 years, you know, having degenerative back disease that all of a sudden your spine caves in. But I've never doubted that God, he's waiting. He's ready and waiting to heal me, but I've got to be in a receiving place for that. I've never doubted but that he can heal me, and maybe those doctors need to see a difference between the bone scans. You know, they might need to see a miracle because we're living in the end days. That's where my faith is on that. But right now, I mean, it was so hard dealing with that diagnosis. And there was another thing that happened that I heard on AFR. It was about that young man that returned from North Korea, that he had been in prison and he was comatose.
Yes.
And I heard it, and they took it off AFR because when I heard it, something in me just died. I didn't cry, but I laid awake, and something in me just died with that report at what the parents heard and saw when they met the plane, and how the North Koreans are—they're very good masters at torture—and I just thought the inhumanity of man towards other men. And I've always had compassion, or I wouldn't be in cat rescue. I wouldn't have been a social worker. You know, I wouldn't have chosen that. Yeah, and so I just lost my trust in God, and I had no one to talk to. You're the first person I'm really talking to about this, but I believe I'm beginning to come out. I've done some things. God would not provide anybody to talk to. Do you want me to tell you those 5 things that I did?
Sure.
Real quick?
I have my pen right here ready to take those down.
Prayer. Praying, okay, Lord, there's nobody to talk to, so I'm asking you, and this seems kind of weird to me, but I'm asking you to help me trust you, because there's nobody else, and I'm losing my trust, and I'm dying inside. And so I said, Lord, help me trust you. Let me see your love. And then secondly, I thought of this verse. Thankfulness, of course. Thankfulness. I've always been thankful, appreciative. Sunsets, flowers, animals, some animals, not the varmints. I deal with a lot of varmints where I live.
Okay. I hear you.
Where we're not going to go through the litany of them, but armadillos, why did they pick that as the state animal of Texas? Oh, my gosh, armadillos? Oh, they're awesome.
I know.
Psalm 91, no plague will come near your dwelling. That's the most success I've had. Anyway, okay, so thankfulness after the prayer, and then this first came to mind, for we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Mm-hmm. I think the Holy Spirit brought that to me because there are all these testimonies in AFR. And so I kept that in the back of my mind. And then I went to put up the 2020 Psalm calendar. Every year I get a Psalm calendar. I'm not very focused of a reader. I'm not really good at delving deep into scriptures, but the Lord has given me some gifts where I can link scripture to scripture, and once I hear a scripture, I normally understand it. I never forget it, and I can repeat it, and I can elaborate on it. It's a gift, because I don't have good focus. So this is what I did. I started to memorize every month. Mm-hmm. I would memorize the 2020 verse of Psalms at the top of the calendar. Every time I would go past it, I would look at it. And I would, and then I started to put away the 2019 Psalm calendar, and I thought, oh no. I thought, I don't need to put that away. I thought, I need to memorize that too. What's two verses out of Psalms in a whole month? I can do that. I'm smart enough to do that. I can focus enough to do that. And so I kept it out, never put it up. It's still out. And then when I looked at January 2019, oh my gosh, oh Lord, it was the second verse of Psalm, I think, and it said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish by the way when his wrath is kindled just a little. And then it talks about trusting the Lord. So see, there was like a tumor inside of mistrust because of all the bad things. And I would zap it a little with the Psalms, but then it would come right back. And it was like God needed to get that out of me. I needed to overcome that, and I'm still trying to overcome it. The next thing, I'm almost at the list, the end of the list, two more things. Sharing with people from the Word, even though I didn't feel it, God would send me people. I didn't feel it inside. God would send me people to help me. They would see me loading my cat food in my car, and they would come rushing to help me. And I thought, this is supernatural. This is God helping me through this time. I knew it. And then I would start talking with them, and I would share a little bit, and the Holy Spirit would start speaking through me. And I would start being ministered to by the words that came out of my mouth. And I thought, that is God helping me. And then the last one is the leap of faith. For God is good, in him there is no darkness at all. If you do not believe that, you can't do it. You can't do it. That was from Soren Kierkegaard, I think, you know, and I thought, I'm going to go back to that. I went to that years ago. I got to go back. God is good. I can't entertain anything, any other thought, but that God is good. And there's no darkness in him at all. Therefore, he is not going to be controlling and do something to me like they all did. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay, so when we, I've written those down. Those are superb points, by the way.
Good.
And I'm proud of you for that. So when we come back, I want to hear your exact questions.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people, connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Thank you.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
I'm Jeff Oliver, and you were listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we're here because of your prayers and support, and we thank you for that. If you have questions about this or any number of topics, we do have over 100 keys for living, sure to address your particular struggles and issues that you're dealing with. Call customer support now at 800-488-HOPE. And you can ask for keys for living, such as purpose in life, pinpointing your priorities. Also, decision-making, discerning the will of God. The number is 800-488-4673. Easier to remember, maybe 800-488-HOPE. Also, check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. Find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources. Her music CDs are there. There are five of them, and they're available at that site as well. It's all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, let's get back to our conversation now,
Frank,
with Veronica.
One of the things that I'm hearing you say is it's like you know you want to truly trust in God. And it's like, how do I trust in God? And you've given me...
I have to. You, it's my wife.
Yeah, see that... Well, and see, you're wise. Many people don't know that. They just think, oh, well, yeah, God is a part of my life. As in, well, you know, okay, here's this work, this is my work life, this is my activity life, this is my friend life, or whatever, you know, they have their, and then there's my God life. Meaning, they section themselves off, just a part of. But the Bible even says in Ephesians, Christ who is my life.
Yes.
Christ who is my life. And you look at that language, the Apostle Paul, it's not just he's a part of my life. No, he is my life. So this is, now, a thought I have. I have several thoughts. Number one.
Okay.
You said I have burnout. Yeah, I feel burned out. And you said, that was the beginning of the conversation, and it's like being checkmated. Well, I love chess. I love chess. I rarely play it, but I love, what a phenomenal board game. But to be checkmated is you're trapped. You don't have any place to go. Okay,
there's
now.
There's fear, June. See, there's fear. Fear because of all the bad things I've been through. There is one looming, and I haven't really mentioned it because I wanted to give you the background, but it's a follow-up from my call to you in January of 2011, about the third week in January, when I wanted to know what was that. Was that stalking? Well, it's resurfaced since my dad's death. It's the same person. It's worse than ever, and it's fear. It's fear. I have to trust in God. I have to know His word so well that the enemy won't. Psalm 64. I believe it's the victim's psalm, for especially if you've been stalked. Lord, hear me in my meditations. Deliver me from the fear of my enemy. Mm-hmm. Deliver me from the fear of my enemy. So, and then it goes on, and it's the victim's psalm. Well, it's looming up here, and I don't know what to do. I am looking for an attorney. I am debating about the wisdom of getting a protective order, since I had to go to court after my conversation with you, and we talked about bullying and emotional abuse and stuff like that, and you sent me the material. But see, I've had one thing after the other, and it's like, I've had, when the armadillo was tearing up the yard and I was trying to get it ready to put on the market, you know, and I gave up on that because the armadillo just totally tore up the yard. And there was a woman that said to me, there's a reason why that armadillo's in your yard. And I thought about that, and I thought about that. I wasn't trusting in God. I was praying the prayers, but there was no real trust. And that armadillo didn't leave until it tried to bring a friend back too. It didn't leave until I started really attacking the problem that's lack of trust in God. And it's insidious to God. He doesn't want that. And he's trying to help me get rid of that no matter what it takes. And then all of a sudden the armadillo responded to, no plague shall come near your dwelling, and it doesn't come around anymore. Well, anyway, it's fear. It's fear.
Well, you know, when you think about how God really works in our lives, I'm going to mention something to you that it was a scripture that I went, what? And being not versed in scripture, I just thought, how could that be? Now, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
Yeah.
And it says, faithful is the one who calls you.
Right.
And he will do it.
Okay,
I thought I had to do whatever it was. It's kind of like, I thought I had to, like, the trust and obey, or, you know, if you obey his commands. That's participation on my part and your part. And yes, that is part of it. But what I want you to grasp is this. When you became a child of God, you didn't have to know terminology. God knew. Some people think, oh, well, was I told exactly this and did I? If you yielded your will to his will, he knows it. And it's not a legalistic checklist. Okay, I have to have understood this. No, you yield your will to the will of the Lord himself. You are willing to receive him. And that means you're on the journey, that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Again, it's not that you have to even know all the language, but there has to be a transaction where you give yourself to him. It's like you're instead of you living life autonomously, you're not self-sufficient. You know he must be a part of your life, and you know, and then he does expose you more and more where, this is it. And that's the discovery that you have. But To think of, faithful is the one who calls you. Well, sweetheart, he called you at age 24, 25. He's the one who knew your need, and he made himself known to you. Now, faithful is the one who calls you, and he will do it. Whatever he calls you to do, or whatever he calls you to be, he will equip you to be it. And that's quite extraordinary. See, it's not just, okay, give me my checklist of things that I need to do to be a good Christian, etc. No, you're literally, it's phenomenal. You have the presence of Christ in you. And you know where the scripture says that you're given a new nature. Or if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new.
Right.
Well, you know what that new business is? Oh, yes. When you receive Christ, it's a relationship. And he comes into your life. Again, Colossians 1:27, faithful is the one who calls you, and he will do it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, him on the inside. Now, he is going to fulfill his will, and you will have a peace about what's right, and you will have a lack of peace about what is wrong, because that's what he does. He gives you fruit. There is fruit, love, joy, peace that he produces in you. It's the Spirit of Christ in you producing this fruit. And, you know, it's like, if you don't have peace, then wait. If you have peace, then that's what the way he leads you. There are two other things I just want to mention. I want to mention Ezekiel 36:26. Extraordinary verse. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Listen to this. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, that's what I was hearing had happened to you. You could have easily gravitated over here to Eastern mysticism or whatever, you know, of whatever cult. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. That's what I was saying, the Spirit of Christ in you, and move you, cause you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the extraordinary part about authentic Christianity. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. It is life, literally, where there's an exchange. You give your life to him, he gives his life to you. He puts himself in you through his spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and then he will lead you. In fact, what I'll do, I'm going to send you two things. I'm going to send you decision-making, but I also want to send you purpose in life. I think that can just help tremendously. Okay. But do you understand that it's extraordinary? He is the one who literally communicates what you will do. He says, I will move you. I will cause you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So it's not the list of do's and don'ts, but he's going to guide you, that he is your guide. But I have a practical question, and that is, when you became a Christian, obviously you began to grow. You began to absorb. Now, I hear that you don't, I'm not hearing that you have a significant friend, because you said I don't have anybody to talk to.
I don't really.
Okay. All right. No. Did you start attending a church?
I have a problem with trusting people, June. Yep.
Well, I understand that, because I had challenged that with that, but are you in a biblical church?
No. They totally betrayed me in the... in fact, I thought about it later, and I thought, you know, I should just pray for them because they're probably a cult. That was my last-ditch effort to find a church.
Okay, but because the music is playing, let me just say this. Look at this. In the book of Revelation, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. That's it. Repent and do the things you did at first. Were you in a group of where there were true, authentic Christians?
Not for very long at a time. No, never.
Okay, but I want you to pray about that, because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, this may be a small group. It may be a Bible study. It could be. So just pray. Say, Lord, you know the need I have, and the way you've stated in your work. So I'm asking you for that.
We send resources to each night's caller free of charge. We do that because of your generous support of this ministry. And let me recommend to you The Keys for Living, called Purpose in Life, Pinpointing Your Priorities. Also, Decision-Making, Discerning the Will of God. You may order those resources for yourself as well as 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.